यमुना तीरा बना चारे जैया राधा माधवा कुंजा विहारे जैया राधा माधवा कुंजा विहारे जैया राधा माधवा कुंजा विहारे जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य आशुतोषतरशत शिष्यमात हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य आशुतोषतरशत शिष्यमात हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki. Prince Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam ki. Itai Gaura Premanandi. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glory to the assembled devotees. Oh, glory to the assembled devotees. Oh, glory to Shishi Guru Vanshi Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creations, Chapter 11. Entitled King Indra Annihilates the Demons, text number 8. Tat idam kalarasanam jagat pasyanti suraja nahrisyanti nasochanti Tatra jujam apanditaha Tat idam kalarasanam Jagat pasyanti suraja Nahrisyanti nasochanti Tatra jujam apanditaha Tat idam kalarasanam jagat pasyanti suraja nahrisyanti nasochanti tatra yujan apanditah. Please chant.
Thank you.
Tat, therefore, idam, this whole material world, kala rasanam, is moving because of time eternal. Jagat, moving forward, this whole universe. Pasyanti, observe. Surajaha, those who are intelligent by admission of the truth. Nityananda Prana is coming. He just sent me a message. All right, I got safe. Okay, I keep covering for him. So this belongs to him. That's for the people that are watching the internet too. Okay. All right, back to the verse. Surajaha, those who are intelligent by admission of the truth. Not Risyanti, become jubilant. Nor Sochanti, lament. Tatra, in such. Jujam, all of you demigods. All of you demigods. Apanditaha, not very learned, having forgotten that you are working under eternal time. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Seeing the movement of time, those who are cognizant of the real truth neither rejoice nor lament for different circumstances. Therefore, because you're jubilant due to your victory, you should be considered not very learned. Purport. Bali Maharaj knew that Indra, king of heaven, was extremely powerful, certainly more powerful than he himself. Nonetheless, Bali Maharaj challenged Indra by saying that Indra was not a very learned person. In Bhagavad Gita 2.11, Krishna rebuked Arjuna by saying, Asochan anvasochas tam pragyavandans chabashate gatashun agatashun cha nanu sochanti pandita. Nityananda Prana Prabhu is here. Hari Bol. Ibake Prabhu, please come. No. I'm finished. Okay, I finished the purport. Hare Krishna. I didn't prepare. And then we want to hear from you. I finished it and then. Okay, so continue. Krishna rebuked Arjuna by saying, quote, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Thus, as Krishna challenged Arjuna by saying that he was not a pandita or learned person, Bali Maharaj also challenged King Indra and his associates. In this material world, everything happens under the influence of time. Consequently, for a learned person who sees how things are taking place, there is no question of being sorry or happy because of the ways of material nature. After all, since we are being carried away by this wave, what is the meaning of being jubilant of morose? One who is fully conversant with the laws of nature is never jubilant or morose because of nature's activities. In Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Krishna advises that one be tolerant dhamsti tikshava bharata. Following this advice of Krishna's, one should not be morose or unhappy because of circumstantial changes. This is the symptom of a devotee. A devotee carries out his duty in Krishna consciousness and is never unhappy in awkward circumstances. He has full faith that in such circumstances, Krishna protects his devotees. Therefore, a devotee never deviates from his prescribed duty of devotional service. The material qualities of jubilation and moroseness are present even in the demigods, who are very highly situated in the upper planetary systems. Therefore, when one is undisturbed by the so-called favorable and unfavorable circumstances of this material world, he should be understood to be Brahma-bhuta, or self-realized. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 1854, Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kanchati. Quote, one who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. End of quote. When one is undisturbed by material circumstances, he should be considered to be on the transcendental stage above the reactions of the three modes of nature. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So the verse again. Tat idan kala rasanam jagat pasyanti suraja nahisyanti nasochanti tatra jujan apanditaha. Seeing the movements of time, those who are cognizant of the real truth neither rejoice nor lament for different circumstances. Therefore, because you are jubilant due to your victory, you should be considered not very learned. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Ummilitam Yana Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyadi Satarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So on the order of Nityananda Prana, I remain seated here. Sorry. So the confrontation between Bali Maharaj and Indra. And yesterday we were just talking about Indra's, the comparison of Indra and Bali Maharaj. With all the respect to the exalted position of King Indra, then just by his mood and the way he spoke, it was very clear, and the way that Bali Maharaj spoke, it was very clear the difference between the two of them. And Bali Maharaj is speaking from the position of knowledge. And because of this, he was able to rebuke, he was able actually to point out to Indra that the fact is that the way he's speaking, it shows that he's understanding, he doesn't have the proper understanding of his constitutional position. And which is quite fascinating, because Bali Maharaj is in the position of the king of the demons, and Indra is in the position of the demigods. So asuras and suras, the demigods are devotees. They always they're serving Krishna with very important and responsible positions in Krishna's creation. And the fact is that they always conscious of the position of Krishna. And the example is, just the fact that every time there is some trouble, they immediately look for the shelter of Krishna, and Krishna immediately responds. So there is a very wonderful connection and reciprocation. Krishna is very kind to his devotees, and he's always there to protect. This pastime shows in so many ways Krishna's reciprocation with the demigods, to the point that one, you know, is even a little surprising how far Krishna can go to protect his devotees, in terms even to the point of you know, playing tricks and cheating, you know, the demons when they were taking the nectar and right in their face, you know. And so the reciprocation is there with the demigods. So one can expect that the demigods will be especially Indra, as the king of the demigods, he will be very tuned in to Krishna's position at all times. But I was just yesterday, I was just surprised thinking, you know, of Indra's challenges when he was challenging Maharaj Bali, the way he was speaking. And the way he's speaking is almost like just after Krishna just saved him of complete doom, because the displays of Bali Maharaj's mystic powers completely was destroying the army of the demigods. So they were so bewildered, they didn't know what to do. They're actually being crushed by the demons, by the display of mystic powers. And of course, they immediately, when they saw themselves in that situation, they immediately took shelter of Krishna, and Krishna appeared in no time. He appeared immediately in the bag of Garuda, and then dispelled the whole illusion, and also killed many of the generals of the demons. So, and not only that, he revived too the demigods who were crushed by the demons, you know, while this display of mystic powers. So Indra now and the demigods, they gained their strength again, and immediately he went to attack Bali Maharaj and started to tell Bali Maharaj that you such a rascal, you're an ignorant, which, okay, demons, you know, so what is the ignorance and the rascal doom of the demons? Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Vajananti Man Mudha. Mudhas are the word mudha means rascal, Prabhupada translated as rascals in general, like that. So what is the position of those mudas? That they disregard Krishna's position. They have no clue of Krishna as the controller and the supreme person
of all this creation. So Lord Indra calls Bali, the king of the demons, you're a rascal. You're an ignorant rascal. But he didn't say, because you don't know Krishna. We know Krishna, and we take shelter of Krishna, and then Krishna protects us. You're such a rascal that you deny, you try to do things, you know, on your own strength without taking consideration of Krishna. That will be what I will expect from a devotee. If you're gonna call, you know, how you say when you call the spade a spade, that's how I say. If you're gonna call it for the demons like that to Bali, your rascal doing is because you neglect Krishna. But Indra didn't say like that. You're a rascal because you think you're the master of these mixed powers, but actually we are the masters. So now, a moment ago, I was very distressed and I was all bewildered. And I was feeling morose. That word morose was used, you know, when the demigods were being crushed by the mystic powers of the demons. They became morose because the display, I mean, not even in the imagination of, you know, people, they can come up with this display of mystic powers. A big mountain, you know, showering burning trees and stones and all kinds of animals, you know, and big animals, ferocious animals, a whole bunch of man-eating demons screaming with tridents, you know, like crushing and breaking to pieces, and then floats and fires, all this stuff happening. So they were very morose, but now they feel victorious. They fear, you know, the whole thing is dispelled. Now, you know, I'm feeling very excited, and therefore, you know, I'm talking like this. But Bali Maharaj was the one who called a spade for a spade, a spade for a spade. Bali Maharaj says, you know, his response was a very Krishna consciousness. He says that actually by the result of one's work, then one will receive victory or defeat. That this is all controlled by the Supreme Person. There's a supreme authority that will control the result of your actions. So it's going to happen to all of us. Sometimes we'll be victorious, sometimes we'll be defeated, sometimes we have fame, sometimes we don't have fame. This is all the movements of the material nature. This is the nature of the material nature. Basically, he was explaining like that. So there you are, speaking like this, but basically you're speaking like what Krishna said to Arjuna. You're presenting yourself like a learned person, like a pandita, or you're supposed to be a pandita, but actually the way you speak shows that you're not very well educated in this matter. That this principle of being situated or understanding the absolute truth and understanding one's constitutional position, at least understanding one's constitutional position, is called Brahma Bhuta. And that is the basic level of self-realization. That one can understand at least that I'm a spirit soul, and when I'm situated in the position of Brahma Bhuta, then Krishna explained, na sochati na kanchati. There is no there is no hankering, there's no lamentation. There is no, in so many parts of the Bhagavad Gita, every time there's a description of a person who is situated in the spiritual platform, it is explained that he is not, he doesn't rejoice when there is positive gain, he doesn't lament when there is loss. So this person, Krishna explains, is sthita pragya, is situated in the spiritual platform. It's Brahma Bhuta. He realizes the spiritual nature. His spiritual nature. So Bali Maharaj is pointing out to Indra that actually you're forgetting. You're the one who forget. So in one sense, you know, here's his rebuke of Bali Maharaj is actually pointing out to him, chastising him, but for his good. It's good for him. It's not an insult, it's actually the truth. And it is good for Indra to remember that. And then the position of Bali Maharaj as a Mahajan you can see it even throughout, you know, this part of the pastime. Because I was Wednesday when I gave the class, I was just appreciating that, you know, from now on we're gonna go through the arch of Maharaj Bali displaying his exalted position, and Krishna also is almost like, you know, bringing Maharaj Bali into the front through this, you know, that the way, although, you know, growing in an environment that was of demoniac, you know, type of mentality, Bali Maharaj, the way he dealt with circumstances in every moment was very Krishna conscious. And we see, as we're going to hear the narrations of how things happen, that is just very wonderful. At every moment that he's faced, and all the different obstacles that he have to be confronted, and he have to make choices, and his choices will always be Krishna conscious. Even difficult choices at, you know, certain points. So it's a very wonderful personality, and quite fascinating, because among all the authorities of Vedic knowledge, Maharaj Bali was the one who have, you know, who have to display his leadership as a demon. You know, and he was, he wanted to get the demigods. So, you know, he was really acting like the king of the demons. He was after the demigods, and he didn't spare the demigods. Although, when you see his character, he had it all the time. May have been covered by his basically duties as a king of a demon, but it's just very interesting how this whole, you know, this great personality among the 12 authorities of Vedic knowledge have to, you know, display all this demonic leadership. And that tells, you know, that in reality, Krishna consciousness is about, it goes beyond all the external, you know, things. So therefore, we have to be very careful to ourselves, to be quick to pass judgment on externals. Therefore, the recommendation that we always given is that we always be very respectful for all. The recommendation is not just to be respectful of devotees, but we should be respectful of all living entities. Because you really don't know. You don't know who will be, who is who. In the case of Bali Maharaj, Indra didn't know he's seeing just a demon, you know, like one of these, you know, terrible, you know, like demons. So he was being very inimical to this demon because this demon was his enemy. But behind this demon, it was such a great personality. So in meaning that if we get into that position of enemies, enmity, and this thing, and it's all, you know, about me and you, that when the false ego takes charge and we get into these conflicts, that means that that's a symptom that we don't have it yet. We don't have that understanding of the self. We're still being pushed by the modes of nature when we get into this conflict with others. Even in this case, it's conflict with someone who is being attacking you, like Bali Maharaj and the demons has been attacking Indra and the demigods. So Indra, you know, he have a reason to be very angry with, you know, and inimical towards Bali Maharaj, because he was waging war towards them. But the way he speaks shows, you know, that he was not properly situated. In our case, we also can see that, or in any circumstance that we see that there is absorption in this enmity towards others, conflict towards others, that is a symptom of being a pandita, that of not being learned, of ignorance. So So what should we do? Well, we have to cultivate the instructions for us by Lord Chaitanya is to cultivate the principles of humility, tolerance, respect. So, question then, well, that doesn't fit if you're in a battlefield and you have to confront, you know, you have to actually fight. You know, how could you be humble and tolerant towards, you know, in that type of work? You have to, you know, get fired up and being ready to fight. So fighting, you know. So the idea of fighting without being affected by hatred, enmity, and all this thing is quite far out, but that's the, you know, it's almost like it's in the Bhagavad Gita, is throughout the Gita is the example of the instruction of how to do it. It's a very extreme circumstance that in general most of us will never be, you know, in that extreme circumstance that Arjuna was. But nevertheless, the principles apply. So one have to be do it as a matter of duty for the purpose of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's a connection with the will of the Lord, and that should be very clear when one is within the system that Krishna gives us, the structure that Krishna gives for all human beings, which is the principle of Bhaktaran Jagya Tapasham, that everything that we do, every activity, every sacrifice, every type of work that we do is for the pleasure of Krishna. He is the enjoyer. He is the enjoyer. Why? Because he is Sarvalokam Maheshwaram. Because everything belongs to him. So once we are in that consciousness, then we can act dutifully for the service of, you know, the Supreme Person. Just like this Prabhupada's example, just like the soldier who goes to war and kills for the government, for the country that he's protecting, he's defending, then this soldier, out of duty, he's killing and he's being rewarded with recognition and, you know, a medal. But so that killing is appropriate. So duty over all the personal things that we may have to, you know, I want to gain, I want victory, I want this. So a person who is beyond, who is properly situated, who is Tita Pragya, will see these things as you perform duties, your duty, but the result, you're not concerned about that. You work very hard to do it very good, with all your strength, with all your capacities, with all your concentration. But at the end, the result is dictated by some higher authority that is beyond you. And one will accept those results without being disturbed, either if it's victory or if it's defeat. So that's the message that Bali Maharaj is reminding Indra. That is the message of the Bhagavad Gita throughout. So one have to be perfectly situated. And for those of us who are not in that position, what is Krishna says in the face of these dualities? Krishna says, Tanti Tikshava Bharata. You tolerate. Go on and do the duty and tolerate. Tolerate distress. And I guess, you know, you tolerate happiness too. I don't, it would be how to tolerate happiness, you know, maybe have some funny concept. But in one sense, you know, one have to try to keep equipoise. When things are going great, we tend to bask on it. You sit down and taste it and, you know, good, I did good, you know. And then you start to settle on it. Okay, you know, I got it. Doesn't work like that. This thing of I got it is really, I got it for how long? That's the point. If we remain situated in knowledge, we can understand that this is material nature moves. It's all controlled by time, kala, and kala have this. Is what makes this. That's why we learn from the Bhagavad Gita, this powerful energy that is a manifestation of Krishna in this material world, that makes this material world what it is, dukkhalayan ashashvatam, a temporary place. Time does that. Time is the power that does that. So nothing. So time is what makes this whole reality a complete illusion, because it's temporary. So if we think, okay, I got it. No, you don't. You know, it's just a moment. And then everything that we purchase in this world comes with it, you know, happiness and distress comes together. So we have a person in knowledge understands that and is completely prepared. So at the end, it's just the same thing. And that's the position of a pandita. And that's what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to achieve by cultivating transcendental knowledge and renunciation. So, vairagya and vidya. Vairagya and vidya. Renunciation and transcendental knowledge. With devotional service, these qualities become manifested. And Indra is hearing it from Maharaj Bali. Since that it didn't fully register, as the pastime goes, but you know, something that we can learn from this. So sorry, I didn't, this was sort of impromptu. But any comments that you can add to that, we have Niti and the Brenda Prabhu, you are like that.
Oh, no, I'm just
this.
Some of the phrases Prabhupada would use, I just remember that one, they do not see the time factor. It always stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. I just have one question. I kind of understand that Bali Maharaj his position is covered, but what exactly is covering it? Is it like the modes of nature, or just like, I know you mentioned how he was, like the environment he was in, but what exactly is like causing it to continue, and what kind of release is it?
Well, that's from my limited understanding. Try to, you know, see the at least from the narration, the arch that is follow. We don't hear much of Maharaj Bali previously. But one thing we know is that he is leading the demons, and he's definitely trying to, you know, defeat and attack constantly the demigods. And the position of the demigods is a very important position. It's like being a terrorist, you know? The demons are like terrorists. So you're trying to dismantle the organization of a place. So, you know, so we have the demons keep the structure, the universal structure. They have all these responsible positions. So they're doing a service for the whole universe, for, you know, Krishna's creation. And And then you have these demons that are constantly trying to, you know, take him up, you know, destroy him. And the difference between the demons and the demigods is that the demigods accept the position of Krishna as the supreme. The demons, they want to, they accept, they want to take that control themselves. So we have personalities like Hiranyakashipu and Ravana. They wanted the position, they saw themselves as, you know, the supreme. They're the supreme personality in the universe. So that's the mentality of the demons. They disregard the position of Krishna. They don't accept. So now you have Bali Maharaj as the leader of the demons, constantly, you know, attacking and trying, you know, carrying that enmity towards the demigods, and one's assumed towards Krishna. So that's what we hear from him. However, he is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, so he has the association of Prahlad Maharaj. And you can understand that with that association of Prahlad Maharaj is that, you know, he's probably one of the most, you know, arguable ones, the most powerful, wonderful personalities that are presented in the Bhagavatam. And Bali Maharaj has that association. So one can understand he has to have, you know, so you have to take something from Prahlad Maharaj. In fact, we learn that later. And not only that, there's the blessings that Lord Nrisingadev gave to Bali, to Prahlad Maharaj, that generations, his generations of that come from him will be always protected by him, by Lord Nrisingadev. So now, how Bali Maharaj was understanding, or how was covered, or this and that, you know, I'm just looking externally and an arch, you know, you can tell. I mean, maybe someone wants to comment on that. Yes.
Generally, pure devotees or self-realized persons don't wear a badge on their chest or forehead that says, "I'm self-realized, here I come." It is hidden in the heart. And it is in times of adversities that their true nature manifests. So in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, entourage, there are many examples like that. Rupa and Sanatan, they were serving a very, very heinous king. Of course, out of duress, but they were serving that king, and they were serving the king so well that the king's, reign expanded, and the king made so much money because these two were managing the treasury and the, what is called, the home department. But internally, they were devotees of Krishna. Or in the case of Pundarika Vidyanidhi, who's had gelled his hair, had worn silk garments, had servants serving him special beverages during the day, and living a very lavish lifestyle. And Gadadhar Pandit, as a young brahmachari, saw this and said, "What kind of a devotee is this? What kind of a person is this, living the lavish life?" So it's something that's hidden, and that's a good lesson for us, that our devotional, wealth is always hidden. It's not exhibited and demonstrated. It comes out because that's our nature. That's what we should be. So it's not in the externalities of whether belongs to this family, that family, doing this job, that job, this. That's not relevant in one sense. And so Bali's, Maharaj's real devotional is hidden. It's not covered by the modes of nature. It's just hidden. It's not for demonstration or exhibition. And in the right circumstances, we'll find Bali Maharaj shine like anything. That's the lesson, one of the lessons that Subal Prabhu is telling us. This past 40 minutes, he's telling this. It's something that comes out by one's character, not one's badge that he or she wears.
Thank you. Anything else? Maria, thank
Hello,
you.
This is my first time, but this is a very interesting teaching, because currently I'm taking it and looking at my life and saying, how do I proceed? Because I had a situation where my home was in a flood, and the man who repaired it didn't repair it right, and yet he took me to court. And now he put a lien on my house, and so now I'm having to go to court. I wasn't even going to go to court. I was just going to fix my house. And so now I feel like I'm, in modern times, okay, this is kind of a war because I'm attacked. And I'm on the verge of losing my home. And because the courts are so expensive. And so how do I fight? Because right now I have an option. I can just, I can pay the courts, but that's thousands and thousands of dollars. Or I have the option to sign over my house to my mortgage company and then they settle with him. But then, is that me not giving in? Is that me not fighting for what's right? This is war, so I'm understanding that I need to be tolerant. And the way I'm looking at it is, if the higher source, if I'm meant to lose my home, then maybe I need to lose my home. Maybe I need to move. However, how do I defend myself? What if this person does this to someone else next time?
Right, right.
So I'm in this crossroad is like, okay, how do I defend? And what is really, am I, continuing to be, because I don't like the feeling of being a victim, because I don't believe anyone is a victim. But at the same time, I don't know how to proceed.
Yeah, I can tell you, from what I learned from my spiritual master, that one has to do, in general, you have to, it's your duty to carry on, defending your property. And you do that according to your capacities till it become clear that, you have no more resources. You have to be very clever about it. And my spiritual master always, he recommends that you, because we're not necessarily, there's a lot of people that are there that are, that they want to take, they're very expert and trying to do things to others that are not nice.
That would be the demons.
Yeah. So my spiritual master always say, you find someone that is expert how to deal with those people. We're not so expert. And you take advice, like a lawyer, that type of thing. And then you see, the circumstance may be, you have to see always, if you see things with a detached manner, meaning that you understand that there is a, that the result is, or things may happen this way and that way, that's just a material world, and you do it out of duty, then you're always going to have a very clear mind in terms of being very tuned in and making the choice when to stop or when to continue fighting. If we are affected by distress or moroseness or, you know, anger of this and that, all these things that is just affecting ourselves according to the circumstances, they make our capacity and the whole experience very, very difficult. So do it out of duty and being accepting that the result is up to Krishna. And then one thing that we learn from the scriptures, from our spiritual masters, is that there's a plan for us. Krishna is very kind. He's also Sruhidan Sarvabhutanam. He's the best friend of all, of everybody, of living entities. And as devotees, we understand that regardless of the result, is the best for us. We have faith on that. We have faith that tribulations are some of the best ways for us to learn, to make us stronger, and also, you know, come closer to understand our position in relationship with God. You know, that connection of being looked after and protected. Everything has that purpose. Krishna wants us closer, so he made an arrangement for us to take something away from us to come closer to him. He does that. He does in the narrations of the scriptures. There's so many instances of devotees who have to go through that. The famous ones are Pandavas. They were great devotees of Krishna, and they were cheated of the whole kingdom, and they were sent by very, very horrible cheating, you know, schemes. They were sent into exile to live in the forest, no home. And they, through the whole 14 years that they have to live like that, they took full shelter of Krishna. And it was greatly strengthening for them as devotees. They became very powerful by that. So that's something that we meditate on that. And life is gonna constantly is doing that to all of us, because that's the nature of life. Things, you know, like I was saying, you have something, but time will take it away anyway. We have to be prepared for that. So, but nevertheless, you have to, for, you know, as a matter of duty, you have to try to go as far as you can go. But be very tuned in when it becomes, when it's not, you know, worthy. And you can take help from people, you know, you have friends like, you know, Guru Chanan Mataji, Braj Mohan Prabhu, friends, people that you trust, you know, that can help us with advice, some expert advice type of thing. Yes. Is that all right?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Braj Prabhu.
I had a question about tolerance and forgiveness. I had a question about tolerance and forgiveness. So recently I've been in a couple situations with some friends where, although I'm aware I have a lot of issues and things to deal with. I feel like I need to point out some things to them when I've been in some situations, but how to do that? Should I not point out, you know, something? And it's not to make them try to feel bad or anything like that, but it's to basically point out to them where they need some work. And then, you know, is that right to do that? Or should I just tolerate the position they're in where they're at, you know?
Yeah. To give advice to someone, you have to have a relationship already in place, that the relationship allows that. Otherwise, if the relationship is not fully allowing for that, then these people, they don't take it. So it's just a waste of time.
That's what I'm kind of feeling, because one of the persons is a longtime friend. He's on a spiritual path. He's very learned, very bright, but so I tried to say things, but then he'll come back with a spiritual answer, and I'm like, okay, whatever. I guess I'm just not getting through, and that's fine, so I'll just tolerate where you're at.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. The principle for us is always this: humility, yeah, tolerance, and respect. And they go together. Yeah. Tolerance and respect, there is a very important principle for us devotees, you know, especially how to relate with each other and how to relate with the world. Because everybody have their timing for things. Everybody has, you know, and they have different timings.
Yeah.
You know, everybody have different timings that, you know, a different path that they need or different things that they have to go through. And we have to be respectful of that. We have to be very conscientious of that. Yeah. And that gets held by tolerance. So you tolerate, you respect, you maintain a humble position,
yeah,
and you show by character, you show by example.
Yeah.
So if you can, if you become affected, then you know that, oh,
yeah,
I have to work something on myself. You know?
Yeah. My thought is to like just kind of move away from them a little bit.
Yeah.
Which might be my false ego. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, even that, you know, rejection and attraction is just the same principle. Then we have to, you know, what we can do in situations like that. Well, we tolerate, but we have to try to work on that, those principles of, you know, being humble, meaning that, you know, a humble service, and you show by character, you show by example, you know, how to be respectful, you know, because in general, people, when they have their own ideas of things, they're not very respectful of someone else's other, you know, they just say things like that. So it's a very personal internal process. In reality, you're turning the attention towards yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes if the circumstance calls for like you teaching someone, then you can correct. Like example of or when you know when the relationship is already, the trust is there, then you can say it. You know, in Krishna and Arjuna, Krishna tells Arjuna, you're talking like a fool. What's happening? You know? But the relationship was there. Mm. So we have to be very tuned in with those things. Sometimes it's better not to.
Yeah, I've been very much kind of looking at myself in the middle of this as well, like how is this just coming from me? You know, I'm looking at both sides, and I'm just still a little, obviously I'm not self-realized, so I'm a little conflicted, but thank you for your answer.
Sure. Okay, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.